All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you to dig a little deeper into the book of Deuteronomy. This week, we are going through the middle third of Deuteronomy chapter 4, specifically verses 15 through 31. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. Since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. And beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his own inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he swore that I should not cross the Jordan, and that I should not enter the good land that the Lord your God is giving you for inheritance. For I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan. But you shall go over and take possession of that good land. Take care, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When your father, children, and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything, and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands that neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. All right, there is our text today. A lot of watching yourselves, taking care of what you do, because it is important to stick with the covenant that God has given to his people. Whether it's the Old Testament covenant with all the sacrifices, or whether it's the New Testament covenant through Jesus. It is still vitally important for every Christian to hold on to the covenant that he has made. All right, so let's look at it a little bit, going back to verse 15 again. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. Since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you out of Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. Because the Lord had not assumed any particular outward form when he spoke to Israel at Sinai, he commanded Israel not to represent him with an outward form when they worshipped him. Such a command went entirely contrary to how Israel's neighbors worshipped their gods. Because the form that God took on top of Mount Sinai was smoke, was fire, thunder and lightning. How do you capture that in an image? You can't. But people try to do it anyway, trying to figure out any other way to do it, which we saw in Exodus 32 with the golden calf, that it doesn't take very long for the people to fall away and to go after the things that they can see instead of the scary stuff that they can't see. Very much like Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. I mean, this is what everybody else did. This is what they did in Egypt. You look at the pictures that have come out of the tombs and out of all the hieroglyphs that have come out of Egypt, and you see their gods very much in the form of mixtures of man and beast. And that is definitely not the way to worship God. God is the one who says to worship in spirit and in truth, as Jesus tells the Canaanite woman at the well in John 4. It says, okay, you go from all the possible things you can make images out of to verse 19. Beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heavens. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars to be for signs and days and seasons and years. They are to be able to tell time, not really for any other purpose other than giving light to the earth, but any other symbolic purpose is simply for marking time. But human beings are innately religious beings. So the sun, the moon, and the stars were right there, strong magnets as objects for worship, as even Ra in Egypt was the sun god. And you have that. You have the god of the sun, you have the moon goddesses, you have the stars being all kinds of different things. And then you have the astrologers. You know, over the ages, they have looked for wisdom from the stars and planets instead of from their creator. Even atheists and macroevolutionists see meaning in the things of God's creation while denying his existence and crediting the formation of the universe to random chance. All people speak without excuse for godless unbelief because they suppress the truth by unrighteousness, while the evidence of the Creator God abounds everywhere they look. God does not want Israel to be drawn away by the pool of objects that he designed for his own praise. And the sun and the moon and the stars, all the heavenly beings and bodies were designed and created to serve mankind. However, the heathen, carried away by the lure of the unknown, by the enticement of the lights, gave them divine honor because they were outside of the world. And the Lord permitted them to remain in their foolishness as a punishment for turning from him. As again, Paul says in Romans 1, verse 25 this time, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. This is the problem with any of the images of man, animal, bird, fish, or even the planets themselves. They are all created things. They are all creatures in their own way. Inanimate creatures, but they are all creatures, not the Creator. But now he turns to Israel again in verse 20. The Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his own inheritance, as you are this day. The metaphor of the iron furnace as a name for Egypt has a twofold significance. First, the name recalls the miserable slave labor that Egypt forced on Israel. That would be the massive slave labor, especially when they were forced to not only make the quota of bricks, but to gather the straw in there as well without shorting the bricks. Second, as furnaces are used to refine metal, God has refined his people in the furnace of Egypt for his holy purposes. Thanks to deliverance of God, Israel is relieved of her slave labor, finished with that time of national cleansing, and rescued from a land of useless gods, patterned after many of the things that we have talked about in the previous verses as to not following after them, not bowing down to them. But we have also in here, again, not just the harshness of the slavery, but even that slavery being used by God to test his people. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 48, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." God's people are always tried in the furnace of affliction because we are always in the minority. We are always the least among the peoples. Why? Because we stand for the truth. We stand for the thus saith the Lord. And that leads many people running away from us. This leads even people in the church running away from us because They don't want to hear the word of the Lord when it impacts on them, especially in a law way of affliction or a time of testing. People don't want that. People want the prosperous life, the abundant life that Jesus promises. Not always realizing that that abundant life is most clearly seen in our time in heaven. So now Moses goes on to talk about not being allowed in the land again and tells the people, take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which is a great way of him talking about it once again, that he's not allowed in because he forgot the covenant of the Lord his God, because he refused to follow after the directions that God had given him. And again, we see this in the history of Israel throughout the Old Testament, that when she forgets God and his covenant, a spiritual vacuum starts. The void leads to idle curiosity in the religions of others. So it turns to idle thoughts and idol making and idol worship of the things listed in verses 16 and 19. At Sinai, we had no form. It was just the fire. Very much like in Exodus chapter 4 or chapter 3, where Moses first comes to the presence of God. It's in the fire and the burning bush. Now, if Israel wants to go off after idols, after all of that, God will act as a consuming fire. A jealous God is he, which he says here in verse 24. It's also there in Exodus 20 as the close of the commandments, that behold, the Lord your God is a jealous God. As we'll see in a couple of weeks, that is not in the Ten Commandments as it is given in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But there's always going to be the consequences of falling away from God. And this is that fire image again, as we have in Exodus 24. The appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of all the people. Deuteronomy 9. Know therefore today that he who goes before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them, the nations that are currently living in the promised land, and subdue them before you. So you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly, as the Lord has promised you. After everything that God has done for the Israelites and for you and me, he has every right to say, I want first place in your heart and your life. Every human being is going to spend eternity either permanently united to him in heaven or perpetually divorced from him in hell. Christianity is either the most important thing in a person's life or else it's the greatest lie ever foisted on humanity. The one thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. As the author of the Hebrews says in chapter 12, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire once again. Again, we have that thought over and over in the scriptures. So now as we get into the promised land, as the people are there, and as they father children and children's children, you have children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all this, and you have grown old, that's not going to stop you if you make an idol then either. As Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Or in the companion letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Again, we do not act corruptly and do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, because God is going to call us on that. Verse 27 brings us full circle again. If you do all of this, if you turn away from the Lord, The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. The idea of few in number. You know, people so few that they are easy to count. Very much like Isaiah 1:9. If Yahweh of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should be like Sodom and resembled Gomorrah. Or even when Paul talks about, or even Moses talks about the choosing of Israel as the people of God, as his treasured possession. It was not because they were great in number, but they were very few in number. In fact, two. So, it's going to go full circle again. We could end up very much like Abram and Sarai at the beginning of Genesis 12. All right, we're going to close up today looking at verse 30. For our dispensationalist brothers, this is the first mention of the Great Tribulation in the Bible. So they will go back to even Moses talking about the Great Tribulation at the end of time. When you are in tribulation, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. And this is the problem that they have with this, is that, okay, you see tribulation, you see latter days, you see return. So they have the idea of, as we talked about in Revelation, the return of the Jews to faith, that, you know, Christians have their way of being saved, the Jews will have their way of being saved. And this is a horrible lie foisted onto Christianity, that we don't need to worry about the Jews. You know, they're a separate thing because they are the treasure possession of God. Now, Jesus makes it firmly clear in the Gospels and Paul through the epistles that the church has now replaced Israel because he has replaced Israel. And his tribulation was the cross. His tribulation was his passion that he endured, being crucified, died, and buried for you and for me for the forgiveness of our sins. That is what causes us to return to the Lord, to obey his voice, because we see what great comfort there is in that great sacrifice. All right, that is it for this week as we continue digging deeper. Next week, we finish up Deuteronomy chapter 4. Looking at, again, the things that are going on as the people look to God and their relationship with him. But until next time, this is Pastor Doug Minton. Thanking you for being here, supporting the podcast. Keep listening to the Digging Deeper into Deuteronomy. We are digging deeper into the Small Catechism in the Confessional Corner to, you know, mix the titles there as we look at each of the parts of the Catechism using the woodcuts that are in the Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, and the Bible study stories that they depict. So I encourage you to be here for all of that. For the wrestling fans, there is always Pro Wrestling America that comes out on Wednesdays. I encourage you to take advantage of all the things that are here and give me feedback. Let me know, either leaving a note or a message on Facebook at the Wrestling with Theology page, or email me, wrestlingwiththeology@gmail.com, and I'd be glad to hear your feedback. But until then, may God's richest blessings be upon you as you wrestle with the theologies around you today and always. Amen.